13th October 2016, the Nobel Committee announced that Bob Dylan had been awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature. I agree. 9 days later, I went into a six-week retreat. And for the first 5 weeks of that, I had the songs of Bob Dylan going through my head. So at one point, I just thought, you know, I'm just going to let go into this. I was talking to one of my teachers, and she said, you know, sometimes it's just random. The lyrics just kind of pop up, and they move through. And then sometimes it's kind of fun to just take them seriously and see what the lyrics are saying to you. And so I did that for a while, and I don't know if I was just waking up or if I was in a sitting. I don't remember now. But this phrase, the Four Nobel Truths, just popped into my head. And so the title of this talk is The Four Nobel Truths, The Dharma as Seen Through the Lyrics of Bob Dylan. There have been a lot of questions about giving this prize to someone who was pretty popular, despite everything he tried to do in his career to get people from following him. Did Dylan deserve it? These are from an article in the New Yorker by Amanda Petrusic. Did Dylan deserve it? Are his songs, in fact, a kind of literature? Are any songs a kind of literature? Can a lyric be successfully untangled from a melody? That's a really good question. And we're going to find out, because I'm not going to try to sing. And it was just way too much work to try to bring the recordings in here. Can a piece of music be distilled into its constituent parts? Good questions. So on December 10th, they had the ceremony, and he didn't show up. I mean, he told them he wasn't going to show up. He wrote him a very gracious letter, and the ambassador read it. And then Patti Smith performed A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall. Mm-hmm. If you have not seen that, you need to watch it. It is so powerful. Just her authenticity, you know, she has this long relationship with him. She writes amazing stuff herself. And her authenticity, and then watching the crowd, you know, you got the king and queen of Sweden that are like trying to look interested. And then the faces in the crowd, people are in tears, you know? I mean, it is so powerful. And it's, you may have heard she gets lost in the second verse. So there's a recent New Yorker piece that she wrote for her 70th birthday, and she kind of explains what happened. So that's worth reading as well. If you do Patti Smith, Dylan, you'll get both. Actually, the video is embedded in the New Yorker story, so you get both of them if you go to that one. And part of the timing of this talk, the reason I chose now to talk about it, is that Dylan is going to give two concerts in Sweden, in Stockholm, on the waterfront, 2 weekends from now, on April 1st and 2nd. So that's kind of his Nobel speech. They said you could give a concert instead of giving a speech, and so he's going to do that. So I thought it would be fun to revisit the Four Noble Truths. Haven't done that in a while. And since the last time I did it, I read a book by Stephen Batchelor called After Buddhism. And in there, he frames the Four Noble Truths as the four tasks. So he takes a bit of exception, which I kind of agree with, of like putting truth with a capital T. You know, we're all here to learn from our own experience. There are teachings that are helpful, but the Buddha himself said, don't believe something just because, you know, it's from a well-known teacher, or because just visit your own experience and see how things resonate for you. So what Batchelor is saying is that putting things as ultimate truths with a capital B takes away the process of investigation. And it sort of lends this ultimacy to things that they really don't have. I mean, as we know, nothing has this enduring essence that's going to last forever. And so everything is in flux and in change, and everything is process, you know? I mean, the Pali language, a lot of the things that we translate as nouns are actually verbs in Pali, and the Four Noble Truths are no different. So there are teachings where it says, as Kamala said when she was here, you know, dukkha satya, the truth of suffering. I mean, it's a true statement that there is suffering in life. But the way that the four tasks are phrased is a little bit different. So the way Stephen translates, he translates the Four Noble Truths, if you will, as a fourfold task. So it's, the task is being liberated from suffering, right? So he calls it a fourfold task. So the first part is that suffering is to be comprehended or understood. That's your task. You need to understand suffering. The second task is that the arising of experience, is to be let go of. And the way that's often translated is abandoned. The ceasing, nirodha, so we can actually have these little experiences, those of you who have been meditating for a while know, we have these little moments, just a little moment of freedom when we actually experience what it is to let go, what it is to just relax into experience, what it is to have an insight and realize something about our lives that opens up new possibilities. So that cessation is known as nirodha. The ceasing is to be beheld, or another way of translating that is realized. So cessation is to be realized. And you can think of that both in the term of realized, meaning to become aware of, and also realized to be made real in our lives. Mm-hmm. So that's the task, is to make cessation, the letting go, the cessation of suffering, letting go, to make that real in our lives. To be aware of it when it starts to happen, these little micro moments, what I think it's Buddha Dasa calls everyday nirvana, just these temporary little flashes of it that aren't stable, but they flash and you're like, oh, that's freedom. And then the last one is the path, Noble Eightfold Path, is to be cultivated. And bhavana, it's the same word that we use for meditation. It's literally cultivation, like a field in agriculture. Another way of thinking of it is it's to be developed. So each of the eight steps of the Eightfold Path are to be developed in their own right. We need to develop right view, we need to develop right intention, right speech, action, livelihood. We need to develop right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. Okay? So those are the four tasks, or the fourfold task, if you will. Another way that some people talk about the noble truths are that they're four ennobling truths, the truths that actually make our lives richer. So they're ennobling. That's a couple different perspectives on that. So what we're going to do for much of the rest of the evening now is to look at each of these four truths through the lyrics. So we're going to start with the first task or truth, which is that suffering is to be comprehended or understood. Now there's no shortage of descriptions of suffering in the lyrics of Bob Dylan. You know, and I'm not even talking about the protest songs. I don't have a lot. I hardly have any lyrics from his protest songs of the early 60s. But his description of just chaos and people being mean to each other, often in the first person, these songs, you know, he's talking to somebody. There's plenty of that. So I just took a few examples. The first one is from I Pity the Poor Immigrant. I pity the poor immigrant who wishes he would have stayed home, who uses all his power to do evil, but in the end is always left so alone. That man whom his fingers cheats and who lies with every breath, who passionately hates his life and likewise fears his death. Who eats but is not satisfied. Not satisfied, dukkha. Who hears but does not see. Insight. Does not see. He can hear, he can have the physical sense, but not the insight. Who falls in love with wealth itself and turns his back on me. And this is the only one that I actually found an interpretation for. And me, in this sense, is God. This is God speaking. Turn his back on me. Whose visions in the final end must shatter like the glass. Impermanence. I pity the poor immigrant when his gladness comes to pass. Gladness comes to pass. Impermanence. And gladness is temporary, right? We think we're happy, we're not. So I actually chose that one to represent greed. Who, you know, that grasping, who with his hands, with whom, the man whom with his fingers cheats, and then who eats but is not satisfied, who falls in love with wealth itself. So that's greed. That's the first of the three fires, right, that cause us suffering, greed, hatred, and delusion. The next one is hatred, and for that one, we're going to turn to It's All Right, Ma. He's being sarcastic, right? It's really not all right when you listen to the words. It's all right, Ma, I'm only bleeding. Temptation's page flies out the door. You follow, find yourself at war, watch waterfalls of pity roar. You feed to moan, you feel to moan, but unlike before, you discover that you'd just be one more person crying. So don't fear if you hear a foreign sound to your ear. It's all right, Ma. I'm only sighing. As some worn victory, some downfall, private reasons, great or small, can be seen in the eyes of those that call to make all that should be killed to crawl, while others say, don't hate nothing at all except hatred. Advertising signs that con you into thinking you're the one that can do what's never been done, that can win what's never been won. Meantime, life outside goes on all around you. Goes on all around you, but you're not participating in it. That's suffering. Lots of examples of delusion. So let's take one from a little short one. I like this little short one from I Shall Be Released, and then we've got a longer one from The Ballad of the Thin Man. Standing next to me in this lonely crowd is a man who swears he's not to blame. I know that one. All day long I hear him shout so loud, crying out that he was framed. So, you know, not taking responsibility for our own actions, putting it on someone else. I'm sure you all hear the verse coming, but the chorus coming, but we'll get to that later. Okay, Ballad of a Thin Man. You raise up your head and you ask, is this where it is? Oh, this is delusion, right? And somebody points to you and says, it's his. And you say, what's mine? And somebody else says, where what is? And you say, oh my God, am I here all alone? Should have numbered these pages. No. Going all crazy here. Okay, I guess that's all I had. So you know the chorus, because something is happening here, but you don't know what it is, do you, Mr. Jones? This one, everything is broken, I was not familiar with, but it reminded me of the Mark Epstein thing and the Zen in that PBS series on Buddhism when he uses that Zen saying that this cup is already broken? So this is everything is broken. Broken bottles, broken plates, broken switches, broken gates, broken dishes, broken parts. Streets are filled with broken hearts. Broken words never meant to be spoken. Everything is broken. Seem like every time you stop and turn around, something else just hit the ground. Broken cutters, broken saws, broken buckles, broken laws. Broken bodies, broken bones. Broken voices on broken phones. Take a deep breath. Feel like you're choking. Everything is broken. So the second task is to actually let go, to abandon the arising, or to abandon tanha, to abandon craving. So these are a little sweeter. The first one's from Dear Landlord. Dear Landlord, please heed these words that I speak. I know you've suffered much, but in this you are not so unique. All of us at times, we might work too hard to have it too fast and too much. And anyone can fill his life up with things he can see, but he just cannot touch. The Chimes of Freedom is a really long song, and it's set in a thunderstorm. I always picture, you know, you're sitting up maybe in the bell tower of church looking out over a town while this thunderstorm is raging. So I'm just going to read a couple of verses. Each of them ends with, we gazed upon the chimes of freedom flashing. So that's, to me, that was the letting go, actually seeing a tiny bit of freedom in a moment. The first line is the one I used in the write-up, that, you know, right now we're far between sundown's finish and midnight's broken toll. But I'm going to start with the third verse. Through the mad mystic hammering of the wild ripping hail, the sky cracked its poems in naked wonder. That the clinging of the church bells blew far into the breeze, leaving only bells of lightning and its thunder. Striking for the gentle, striking for the kind. Striking for the guardians and protectors of the mind. And the unpawned painter, behind, beyond his rightful time, and we gazed upon the chimes of freedom flashing. Tolling for the searching ones on their speechless, seeking trail. For the lonesome-hearted lovers with too personal a tale. And for each unharmful, gentle soul misplaced inside a jail, we gazed upon the chimes of freedom flashing. This is to Ramona. I've heard you say many times that you're better than no one and no one is better than you. If you really believe that, if you know you got nothing to win and nothing to lose from fixtures and forces and friends, your sorrow does stem. That hype you and type you, making you feel that you must be exactly like them. I'd forever talk to you, but soon my words, they would turn into a meaningless ring. For deep in my heart, I know there is no help I can bring. Everything passes. Everything changes. Just do what you think you should do. And someday, maybe, who knows, baby, I'll come and be crying to you. Another verse from It's All Right, Ma. Several verses. You lose yourself. You reappear. You suddenly find you got nothing to fear. Alone you stand with nobody near when a trembling, distant voice, unclear, startles your sleeping ears to hear that somebody thinks they really found you. A question in your nerves is lit, yet you know there is no answer fit to satisfy, ensure you not to quit, to keep it in your mind and not forget that it is not he or she or them or it that you belong to. Although the masters make the rules for the wise men and the fools, I got nothing, Ma, to live up to. While them that defend what they cannot see with a killer's pride security, it blows the minds most bitterly for them that think death's honesty won't fall upon them naturally. Life sometimes must get lonely. And if my thought dreams could be seen, they'd probably put my head in a guillotine. But it's all right, Ma. It's life. And life only. So the third task is to realize the ceasing, Nirodha, that momentary freedom. Started in honor of our friends out here that have been talking with us for the last few days. If dogs run free, then why can't we? Across the swooping plain. If dog runs free, why not me across the swamp of time? If dogs run free, then what must be, and that is all. Last verse of Chimes of Freedom. Starry-eyed and laughing as I recall when we were caught, trapped by no track of ours, for they hanged suspended. As we listened one last time and we watched with one last look, spellbound and swallowed till the tolling ended, tolling for the aching ones whose wounds cannot be nursed, for the countless, confused, accused, misused, strung out ones and worse. And for every hung up person in the whole wide universe, we gazed upon the chimes of freedom flashing. For the Tombstone Blues. Now I wish I could write you a melody so plain that could hold you, dear lady, from going insane. That could ease your mind and cool you and cease the pain of your useless and pointless knowledge. So, you know, cooling is the word that's used for nibbana, because the analogy is a flame, and then it's the cooling, the nirodha, the nibbana is actually the cooling of that flame. And then the useless and pointless knowledge spoke to me because in this practice we don't talk about knowledge as being an acquisition of facts. You know, we talk about the wisdom of the body. So I love that contrast, but that that could ease you and cool you and cease the pain of your useless and pointless knowledge. That there's actually the possibility that we can get beyond facts and knowledge and thinking that we have to know things and actually just relax into the experience. And that could be the experience of cessation in the third task. So for Hall's angst, he actually wrote a whole song called A Satisfied Mind. How many times have you heard someone say, if I had his money, I'd do things my way? But little they know. It's so hard to find one man in 10 with a satisfied mind. Once I was waiting in fortune and fame, everything that I dreamed of to get a start in life's game. But suddenly it happened. I lost every dime. But I'm richer by far with a satisfied mind. And then we'll go back to the verse of Ice Shall Be Released. I see my light come shining from the west unto the east. Any day now, any day now, I shall be released. That confidence in the practice. One of these days, I shall be released. So the fourth task is to actually cultivate the path. And for this, I have kind of a mix of things that sounded to me like versions of various practices or positive qualities that we cultivate with, again, some of these little moments of freedom. And the first is just a single line. Dana. She dropped a coin into the cup of a blind man at the gate and forgot about a simple twist of fate. Along with the satisfied mind, he's got a song called Watching the River Flow. People disagreeing everywhere you look makes you want to stop and read a book. Why, only yesterday I saw somebody on the streets that was really shook. But this old river keeps on rolling, though. No matter what gets in its way and which way the wind does blow. And as long as it does, I'll just sit here and watch the river flow. Can't help but hear Jimi Hendrix when I do All Along the Watchtower. But I think there's some good things in here. There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine. Plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. No reason to get excited, the thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now. The hour is getting late. Death's just around the corner, right? Start to realize the shortness of life, and we drop false speech and get right down to business. This is a verse from It's All Over Now, Baby Blue. Leave your stepping stones behind. Something calls for you. Forget the dead you've left. They will not follow you. The vagabond who's rapping at your door is standing in the clothes that you once wore. Strike another match. Go start anew. it's all over now, baby blue. So to me, that speaks to change, impermanence. The vagabond standing at your door is wearing the clothes that you once before, that you once wore. You know, that could be you, right? Because that, as we change and mutate, you know, that vagabond could be you at a future time. And then this idea with practice that just go start anew, start anew, start anew, always starting anew. And then I love his just awareness of death. You know, it keeps popping in and out of these. That he's very aware that death is just around the corner. Again, with Tambourine Man, I always hear the Birds cover of that. But I like the way Dylan sings it too. Color coding system here, so hopefully I remembered to color green. That's too bad. It's one of my favorite verses. Ah, here it is. Okay. This to me is such a beautiful description of freedom. Then take me disappearing through the smoke rings of my mind, down the foggy ruins of time, far past the frozen leaves, the haunted, frightened trees, out to the windy beach, far from the twisted reach of crazy sorrow. Yes, to dance beneath the diamond sky with one hand waving free, silhouetted by the sea, circled by the circus sands, with all memory and fate driven deep beneath the waves. Let me forget about today until tomorrow. So just that feeling of just being in this present moment. Let's don't even think about the present. That doesn't exist either, really, when you think about it. Past doesn't exist. Future hasn't come yet. The present doesn't really exist. All that exists is this moment. So let's forget about today until tomorrow, with all memory and fate driven deep beneath the waves. And then one more verse from the Satisfied Mind. When my life is over and my time has run out, my friends and my loved ones all leave, there ain't no doubt. But one thing's for certain, when it comes my time, I'll leave this old world with a satisfied mind. Wouldn't that be sweet? And that's what some people say this practice is all about, right? Practicing from the moment of our death. So, satisfied mind, that wouldn't be bad. That'd be all right. So, questions, comments, complaints that your favorite song was left out.
Yes. Are those all written by Bob Dylan?
Yeah, everything I chose was written by Dylan. I tried to avoid like things that were written by the band or some of his early covers of the, you know, blues and stuff. Yeah, those were all written by Bob Dylan. Yes?
There's a few books out on composers, including all the lyrics.
Uh-huh. And do they interpret the lyrics, or do they...
There's different books, and I'm just having complete the lyrics.
Yeah. Okay, good to know. There's one over here.
Yeah. I'm not a satisfied man means no worry, which I worry a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, to clear your mind and to be satisfied. I mean, you're satisfied with nothing because you feel fulfilled spiritually, you're clear, and you let everything go, and you're satisfied because you feel complete.
Sounds pretty good to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's
that you don't need anything.
Right. Yeah.
That you feel satisfied with just being in the present.
Right. Don't need it to be any other way. You don't need to get something you don't have. You don't need to get rid of something that you have.
Just accept what is.
Yeah. Lofty goal, huh?
But
there are moments, you know, there are moments when we can feel that, actually.
And actually, that your talk tonight was full of those moments for me.
Yeah.
Just like that.
And just feel that little
release,
yeah.
That moment. It's good. Thank you.
Great. Yes?
Just like he was a revolutionary, I think the choice of choosing Bob Dylan or any remarkable writer, songwriter, I think is very remarkable. It's moving in a it's an expansion an inspiration because if you are bringing words and song together, they deeply inform each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they're born from each other. And some of the great songwriters, you know, didn't even need to have words. So it's honoring the song also for its literary capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that, I think that's really, was really exciting.
Right. Thank you.
Way back when I was in college, English teacher gave us an assignment to answer the question, what is a poem?
Mm.
And I think it's on the liner notes in the back of Bringing It All Back Home, Dylan writes, a poem is a naked person. So I use that quote as well as quotes from more legitimate poets of the day. And I got called into the professor's office and said, well, it's pretty good, but then what's this Bob Dylan? I thought you were a serious student. From then on, I could never do better than a B+ in the class. But you know, it takes a lot to laugh and a train to cry.
And you're finally vindicated.
Yes.
Many years later.
Opinions.
He's always been annoying to me. This is on a personal level. I can't stand his music or how he sings, and he writes the most amazing words, and I'm sure that part of the reason he sings so horribly is to highlight how fabulous the words are. But that's no opinions. But what I was thinking, because the words are, they're like transmissions, because they're so true.
Yeah.
And you know, they come at it obliquely
they
enough
do.
That
yeah.
listening to them,
yeah.
and I can see why, if you were on retreat and that stuff started to, they're like somehow when they hit the ears, they penetrate into that little moment.
Right.
So when you said that, you know, that the spark comes across,
mm-hmm.
and it occurs to me that that kind of art is true in a way that transcends even its and they always say that about him, but it's so true that
yeah.
there's something about the quality of what he's conveying that it just penetrates because it's so true.
Right.
It just feels so it feels right.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're amazing words. Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't expecting. I'm like always. I go, Bob Dylan again.
Yeah.
I know so many people that loved, thought he was God. You know,
yeah.
all that kind of stuff. Yeah, interesting.
Thanks. Yeah.
I can't think Bob Dylan maybe had some of that God thing going on. But when my mother passed away 15 years ago, she was on morphine for about 8 days toward the end, and you know, we all knew she was going, and she lived a lot longer than she should have because she was waiting for my younger brother to get married, and she made it through that. And then she said, "Honey, I don't think I'm going to make it to my grandson's wedding, so just so you know." Okay, so then she was in the hospital, and we talked a lot, and then by the time she got on morphine, she was really out of it. And she'd say random things, and then for the last 4 days, she didn't say anything. The last day, and it's one of the reasons I wanted to come tonight, she opened her eyes and she turned and looked straight at me and she said, "Because Bob Dylan said so." I said, "And with that, you can go, Mom."
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't know what he shared. That was from Nirvana.
Anything else?
And on that note.
Yeah. Well, actually, one more note. He wrote a metta, a version of metta. It's called Forever Young. Mm-hmm. He wrote it for his son. And I've selected some lines. And I want you to interpret Forever Young not in the Forever 21 sense, you know, that we're trying to deny that we're all aging and that death is waiting for us around the corner, but in the sense of freshness, you know, of keeping the mind fresh and always open to new things. So this was written for his son, and it was kind of it was metta for his son. May you grow up to be righteous. May you grow up to be true. May you always know the truth and see the light surrounding you. May you always be courageous, stand upright, and be strong. May you stay forever young. May you have a strong foundation when the winds of changes shift. May your heart always be joyful. May your song always be sung. May you stay forever young. So may it be for all beings.
Amen.